I would like to read a psalm from David, and that is Psalms 23. Psalms 23. Let us read before we pray. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Up to here, these precious words of the great man of God. I think it is our prayer too. We cannot help exclaiming these very words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If we walk with the Lord, we have nothing to fear, then we have nothing to worry about. Although this great man of God has been in various tribulations, yet he has not lost his confidence, hope, and faith, but has strengthened it in the living God. And so we too can say in these days, for we live on the same earth, on the same world, people have not yet improved, but they may have become worse, and we may have to go through some things, but we hold fast to the one who has taken care of us, and that is the living God. And he is the God of his people. He has chosen a multitude from among the Gentiles, and he is gathering his people Israel. We see all this with divine eyes by the grace of God. And they have to go through some difficulties, and we have to go through some difficulties. But we look up to the living God. Tonight too, we have come to worship our God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David could have actually said that he had to flee so many times, and this and that. But he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Well, beloved, God knows the right path for us children of men. He knew the right path to lead David. He also knows the right path in which he will and does lead his people in our days. And so we are glad and grateful to be gathered here this evening, and it is a special joy for us that our dear brothers from Israel are in our midst. We are together here every Wednesday evening and have a prayer meeting, and we give glory to our God, and we also remember you all the time in our prayer, and all the people of Israel, and all the people on the whole earth. We remember before the living God. Now let us rise and let us worship God. We thank you with all our hearts for this day of grace that you have given us again. We thank you, O God, that we can come together here and call upon your holy name in this place. You, the God of heaven and earth, you, the God of your people Israel, you are also our God. You have taken care of us, Lord, and therefore our soul praises you and exalts your holy name also in this evening hour. Be blessed, be praised, O God. O Lord, you are our Lord. You are our good shepherd. You lead us in the right way. You lead us to the fresh water. As David proclaimed, so you do with us, O Lord. And therefore we worship you and praise your glorious name. Bless, O Lord, as has been prayed, your people Israel, especially in these days. Give, O Lord, the right attitudes also to the authorities. Lord, we pray that you will guide and direct all things wonderfully, as it shall come according to your will. Thanks be to you for all this, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord, that we may know he leads to the goal. And the goal is to be united with him forever. To be where man was before the fall, in fellowship with God, without sickness, without sin, without death, without need, without growing old, without anything that we have here in this body. And that is the reason why the Lord God had to come down as a spirit into a body of flesh in which we find ourselves, in order to accomplish redemption in it, so that we get the opportunity to be transformed back out of this body of flesh into a spiritual body. That is actually the sum of the whole redemption. You can preach a lot about it, but that's it in a nutshell. God himself became man in order to bring people back to the state that God has given them forever. Well, we are honored by the visit of Brother Goldner and Brother Yigal, Brother Yigal with his wife and son, and we really welcome you. You know that. Words are sometimes missing to me. You can't put it into words. But you both know that it was love at first sight and fellowship in the Lord our God. Brother Goldner, please stand up so that people see you. This is our guide through the land of Israel. And I can tell you in his presence, it's no secret, there is no better tour guide in all of Israel. Brother Yigal, please stand up. This is the bus driver. And there is certainly no better bus driver than him in all of Israel. God bless you in our midst. Thank you. There would be so many scriptures to read out. And we think especially on the one place from Deuteronomy, where God says, where would there be another people on earth that God has chosen, the least of all peoples, but the greatest he has made of them? Such are the ways of God. If we look back to Abraham by the Euphrates in Ur in Chaldea, an ordinary man, suddenly a man of God, a prophet, a man whose name can never be erased because he had an encounter with God. A man to whom God reveals himself still remains a man, but he becomes a different man. He is inwardly transformed and has the connection with God, and that does not change for all eternity. When we listen to the news, I didn't hear them today, but we know what's going on. And we also know the plans of the politicians. But God says, they may take counsel, I will bring it to naught. And God will bring to naught the counsels of the Gentiles. And his own counsel he will bring to pass. And God's counsel is not only a counsel, it is a counsel of the plan of salvation. In what God has decreed, it is not only a decree that man can make, it is a counsel in the plan of salvation. Salvation is in everything that God decides, that he promises. In the covenant with Abraham, there was promise, salvation, blessing, everything was included in the covenant. And I had to think of the word when the people of Israel came out of Egypt. There are actually two thoughts that moved me. The first, because we sang about the blood of the Lamb of God. And I would like to read from the Torah because of our friends, so that they know what that meant in Moses' time. But the first thing that caught my eye was Exodus 14. Exodus 14. Here it says, from verse 27, and Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. This is a wonderful word. It is not just a story that someone wrote. It took place. God parted the sea for the sake of his people to bring them out. And if you look at the map, you might say, yes, God could have gone around here via Cairo and could have bypassed the Red Sea. But God makes a way where there is no way. If he had gone over Cairo and over the little bridge, then he would have had no way of covering Pharaoh with all his army and all his horses and all his chariots. God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly how to trap the enemy and how to cover him up so that he is no longer there. People really always have quite different plans. And you hear even the greatest theologians, if you just read up where they have their say, yes, could not God have this and that? As if they want to advise God and think he hasn't studied the map enough. After all, God made the land and the rivers and the seas. Before people could map them and study them, God already knew everything. But he arranged it in a glorious way and also directed it. Now it says here that the Egyptians, they fled in the wrong direction. They did not flee away from the water, but they fled towards the water. Have you read it? I like to read it again. Here it says, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Most people flee from destruction, but they fled into destruction. There was no escape for them, for they had rebelled against the people of the Lord. And God let his people pass through on dry land while he let the Egyptians drown. And then it says, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Earlier, I noticed a word that is in the Old Testament, one of the many places which already testify to the salvation through the blood. Exodus 12. Here it says, in verse 3, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. In verse 7 it says, and they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night. And then, perhaps, from verse 12, For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. So we see that when Israel came out of Egypt, the lamb had to be slain in the night, and the blood painted on the doorposts, so that the destruction angel would pass by. And the word of God says, the Lord says, when I see the blood, not when I see the wood, the iron, the ornaments, when I see this or that, the lock, or anything else, but when I see the blood on the houses, not a watchman, not a man, but the blood, what was it? The lamb had to lay down its life on behalf of the firstborn in that house. And the blood of that lamb had to be painted on the doorposts. Now the destruction angel could no longer do anything to the firstborn, because a lamb had shed the blood, had given its life for this firstborn in the house. That is why Christ, the Lamb of God, is called the firstborn. John said, behold, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he had to give his life. He had to let his blood flow, so that we don't perish and are given over to death, but by the grace of God might receive eternal life and serve the Lord our God. No deadly destruction could befall the firstborn. Why not? Because the blood of the Lamb had been shed. Then when Moses, or the Lord, had led the people of Israel out, something happened after the giving of the law. It's written in Exodus, mainly in chapter 20. Something quite miraculous happened in chapter 24. It says here, in Exodus 24, from verse 3, and Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Then And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient." And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you concerning all these words." So, God's covenant making with Israel became legally binding through the shed blood. This is the blood of the covenant. A covenant without blood would have been a human contract. A covenant with a sealing that life was given away, blood was shed, has a divine meaning. Basically, since the fall, since the Garden of Eden, when the Lord God clothed the first human beings with skins, an animal had to give its life, because before God could have a skin to clothe the human being, an animal had to give its life so that this skin would be there. From the beginning, from the Garden of Eden, from the fall, God indicated through the many sacrifices that blood had to flow for reconciliation and protection and salvation. These were all indications for the New Testament. And we could read in the four Gospels, and there it is written, during the Passover, the Lord took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and said, "Take all of you, eat of it. This is my body, which is given for you." And he took the cup and blessed it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood." What was it? It was the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the temporary to the eternal, from the shadow images to reality. On the cross of Golgotha, on the place of the skull, it was not human blood that flowed, but divine blood, the blood of our Lord. And we notice, Moses sprinkled not only the altar, not only the book of the covenant, but also the people with the blood that had come to it and with whom God had made this covenant, a reference to the New Testament, that the Lord made a covenant on Golgotha, and this covenant became legally binding. The blood of the Lamb of God has flowed, and the people of God are under the protection of this divine blood. and destruction angel, Satan, must pass by. He cannot kill us. I mean spiritually kill us. Because God has given us eternal life by grace. How wonderful that we may see the things of the Old Testament so clearly in the light of the New Testament. And you know, what happened afterwards is the greatest thing a human being can wish for and think of. After Moses had read the ordinances and brought the blood of sprinkling upon the altar and upon the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you because of all these commandments." Right after this, it says, "Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink." Here God showed that the elect do not stay down, but are allowed to go up and come into the presence of God because of the shed blood, because of the covenant God made with them. And they saw, that's how it says here, they saw the God of Israel, and it's described exactly how it looked under his feet, as it were a paved work of sapphire stone, and as heaven in his clearness. What was it? Heaven came down to this earth. The Lord God had come down to Mount Sinai, and the people of Israel heard his voice from heaven, though he was among them there on earth. You can read about this in Deuteronomy and also in Nehemiah, that he sounded his voice from heaven and made his glory known on earth. Nehemiah chapter 9 from verse 13. "Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments, and true laws, good statutes, and commandments." So, we see that God came down or descended from heaven to Mount Sinai and revealed his glory there and spoke to his people. So, dear ones, when you hear us singing songs that somehow praise the blood, mention it, we just have to say, without that, there would have been no redemption at all, no forgiveness at all, no salvation at all. And you just have to be honest enough that all the laws and all the commandments are glorious, perfect and wonderful, but they have not been able to save any man. They only gave him regulations and everything that went with it. Eternal life comes from God, the Eternal who took on human form in Christ. And the day will come for the elect in Israel, and they will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn. There will be no other Messiah who will sit on the throne of David. He is the Son of David. And in that day, it says in Zechariah chapter 12, in such a wonderful way, from verse 9, "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." Throughout the past, it seems that God has not cared. But since the people of Israel have been gathered from all nations, and since 1948, they have been an independent state, a nation that no one can deny. Since then, not only that it seems, but since then, God has cared about the cause of his people Israel. And you have seen that in every war, they have not only won, they have gained. And that is very important. Here it goes on to say, "And I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." At what time will this happen? At the time when the Lord will destroy all who come against Israel, when he will make an end to them. At that time, he will pour out the Spirit of grace on Israel. And that day, I would like to see from above, when the people of Israel, the true Jews, those who have held fast to what all the prophets proclaimed, when suddenly the veil is lifted from their hearts and eyes, and they recognize this Messiah, this Jesus from Nazareth, was the same one who spoke to our fathers on Mount Sinai as the angel of the covenant, of whom Malachi speaks in chapter 3, verse 1. What do you think is going to happen? There will be such sorrow, such weeping, and they will say, "Lord, if we had known, we would never have done it. We would not have despised you. We would have accepted you. Oh, forgive us. Have mercy on us for having passed you by like this." And the Lord will say, as Joseph said to his brothers, "Do not quarrel anymore. Do not weep anymore. Do not be dismayed. All this has happened for your sake." And he will wipe away all tears from their eyes and will reveal himself to his own in a most wonderful way. It is not yet the time, but it could be tomorrow. It could be tomorrow. Today it's not yet. Today the enemies are not yet defeated. Today the Israelites cannot yet see it. It is so intended in God's plan of salvation. We can only exclaim with the great man Paul, "How wonderful are your ways, O Lord! How incomprehensible your thoughts! Who can understand it all?" Only when eternity dawns and we could then look back on time would we understand it all. Not one question will remain unanswered for eternity. Everything will lie very clearly before us. And we will know why this has been so and that so. And we will be able to praise the Lord, our God, with all our heart. May He bless us and be with us all. Actually, I wanted to refer very briefly to the promise on Sunday morning. You have all heard it. What a grace, what a privilege that the Lord still speaks, that He really, I even put it somewhere to remember it, and already I don't see it anymore. But we are grateful to God. We will look at what we have heard. We have not heard fairy tales. We have heard God's word, the word of prophecy with all the promises that are yes and amen. And we will look at what we have believed. God is a faithful and a merciful God who keeps His word and keeps His promises. May His name be praised and exalted. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. I thank You with all my heart for Your precious and holy word. Who are we? Dust before Your face. And yet You have taken us out of the dust. As You formed Adam, so You have formed us and have put eternal life within us. We thank You for the living hope we have through You, the living one, the eternal one, who was manifested in the flesh and paid the price. We are not redeemed with corruptible things, not with silver and not with gold, but with the blood of the Lamb of God. Beloved Lord, we pray for our beloved friends, for our brothers. Savior, how do we feel for them? For salvation comes from the Jews. O Lord, we praise You. How wonderful are Your ways. Almighty God, who called Abraham, confirmed the promise in Isaac, established the covenant with Jacob, and decreed for all Israel, "You are the only true God. You we worship, and to You we give glory." Lord, our trust rests in You, and we already know that when all leave the people of Israel, when no one stands by them, when no more weapons are supplied, then You will intervene. You will rain fire and brimstone from heaven, and You will destroy the enemies. Thanks be to Your name. Oh, You have spoken it by the mouth of Your holy prophets. You fulfill it. Hallelujah. O Lord, do it soon. and let us know that the end is near, but also the beginning. Hallelujah. For thus saith the prophet Isaiah, the morning cometh, but also the night. Both come, one for him, the other for that one. Oh, we worship you. Great and wonderful are you. Glorious and incomprehensible are your ways. And yet we may praise you. We thank you also for the psalm we heard at the beginning. You are the shepherd, not only the shepherd, the good shepherd. Hallelujah. Praise and glory to your name. You laid down your life for the sheep, and that is why they follow you and listen to your voice. Worship and glory to your holy name. Amen.